Left off of the previous siddur we just started, the Gemara was talking about the intricacies of when one recites a bracha mamotzi. So does one recite a bracha mamotzi on a whole loaf of bread? Does one recite it on a slice of bread? So there are reasons for one over the other. On the one hand, it's more appropriate to recite the bracha over a whole loaf. That's more of a covenant bracha, more of a kosher than an entire challah roll. On the other hand, by doing so, you're going to necessitate a little bit of a hefsek between the cutting of the piece of bread and eating of the piece of bread. So maybe it's more important to minimize the hefsek and the mevat, the moichel, and having the whole roll. So that's the Gemara's discussion back and forth. But one thing the Gemara says very clearly that on Pesach, it's not a discussion. Because on Pesach, for sure, you have to have a broken challah bread, a broken piece of matzah on Pesach. Why is that? Because of lechemoni. So we spoke a little bit in the last year as to what the parameters of that halacha are. Lechemoni has multiple meanings, but one of the meanings that it has is the necessity of ani b'kusa. Just as a poor person doesn't eat it and die already, puts some away, doesn't know what's going to be tomorrow. So too, matzah, you have to dafka demonstrate lechemoni by having a half a matzah rather than an entire matzah. So we mentioned last week that there is another issue that comes up in the Leil HaSeder, and that's how does that halacha play out in terms of Lecha Mishnah? So there was a major machlokes to Rashbam and the Rambam. How are we supposed to fulfill the din of Lechem Oni and at the same time perform the mitzvah of Lecha Mishnah? So the Rashbam said it's not a contradiction. You can perform both. You start out with three matzahs, you break one, and you land up two and a half. So you have two for lechem mishnah and a half for lechem oni, and you have both. And according to the Rambam, that defeats the purpose. The purpose is to dafka demonstrate that your lechem mishnah is broken tonight. So according to the Rambam, don't start out with 3 months. Start off with 2 months, and then break one, and now you have your one and a half. That's your watered down lechem mishnah. That's your pesach din lechem mishnah. That's your lechem oni din lechem mishnah. That's you perform the din of lechem mishnah and lechem oni, but whether or not you start out with three, start out with two, everybody's working with the assumption that you need Lecha Mishnah. No, that's not the question in the sugya. The question is, how does it play out on Pesach? But on Sukkot and Shavuos, we know exactly how it plays out, the exact same way that it plays out on Shabbos. Of course, you have to have two lechem, of course, you have to have shleimus, of course, you have to have everything like you would have on Shabbos. So that's what Tosfos, the third of the Rav Kobus, points out, that even though the Gemara doesn't say black on white, you have to have Lecha Mishnah on Yom Tov. The whole sugya that requires Lecha Mishnah is really a sugya of Masechet Shabbos that is talking about Shabbos. Tosfos says it's obvious from the context that this carries over to Yom Tov as well. So let's take a look at the third of the Rav Kobus. It's a Tosfos Masechet Pesachim. So Tosfos makes reference to our sugya. Now, when the Gemara says in our sugya, it says Pesachim, the idea of lechem oni, so Tosfos says the third of Abba Kobus, that after the Gemara mentions the requirement of lechem oni in our sugya, then the Gemara says, Amar b'chibar Abba b'shabes chayav b'tzor al shnei kikros, shnei ba'olik lechem mishnah. Right after discussing Hilchos Pesach, the Gemara immediately digresses to a regular Shabbos and just reminds us that you have to have lechem mishnah. So says Tosfos, the Ika Milsei to Rabbi Chibar Abba Perakol Kisvei. That statement of Rabbi Chibar Abba that requires of us to have Lechem Mishnah to remember the miracles of the Mon, the main sugi was in Shabbos in Perakol Kisvei. Elohachi Ma'is Yosam, why does the Gemara mention it in our sugi after Lechem Oni? The reason is, Elohachi Ma'is Yosam Acha Pesach Lomar, Shetzorech Sham Matzah Shlishis, this is like Tosfos and the Rashbam, the Ashkenazi tradition speaking, Mishum Lechem Mishnah. So says Tosfos, the reason why the Gemara even introduces it into our sugya is to remind us, don't be mistaken, don't think, like some are going to think, but don't be mistakenly and think that you don't need Lechem Mishnah on Yom Tov. Of course you require Lechem Mishnah on Yom Tov. V'chayev l'tzoah shnei kikros, bein b'shabes, bein b'yom Tov. Says Tosfos, it is obvious that you require Lechem Mishnah for Shabbos as well as Yom Tov, even though it doesn't say it explicitly in Masechet Shabbos, and our sugya basically says it. If not for what we just said, why does the Gemara even mention Lechem Mishnah in our sugya? The Chaim Pasuk Rav Alfas, which says Tosfos, this crosses party line. This is not just the Ashkenazi tradition. This is the Sephardi tradition as well. The Tzarech L'Tzarech that kickers the Yomtiv. You have to make a moti on two rolls on Yomtiv, whether or not that means a Pesach a third month. So that was that subject to Machlokes. But the fundamental basic din of Lechem Mishnah on Yomtiv for sure is true. The Hatam. And why is it so obvious that you require Lechem Mishnah Yontif? Because after all, the whole goal of Lechem Mishnah is to commemorate that uniqueness, the miracle of the double bun falling on Erev Shabbos. And says Tosfos, well, the same way that the double bun fell on Erev Shabbos, it no doubt fell on Erev Yontif as well. And since it had to have fallen on Erev Yontif, because the bun itself could not have fallen on Yontif, we'll see why that is or is not true. But Tosfos' premise is that the man obviously did not fall on Yontif the same way it didn't fall on Shabbos. That necessitated a Lechem Mishnah on Erev Yontif, similar to Erev Shabbos. Therefore, we, 3,000 plus years later, when we commemorate those Nisim of the man, we go out of our way to have Lechem Mishnah on Yontif as well. So Tosfos says, even though everything seems to be to follow, it's all based on the historical fact of the Nes of the man occurring on Erev Yontif as well. The cautious astosis, it doesn't seem to fit into the following. Sha'anam is palim the ataki nashta. We say it at davening on Friday night, ataki nashta. Uveirachta mikol hayomim, v'kidashta mikol hazmanim. So what do those words mean? We say that Kodesh Baruch Hu was mevarech Shabbos and Kodesh Baruch Hu was mekadesh Shabbos. So if you remember all the way back to Vayechulu, back in Rashi and Chumash, Rashi's gracious, Rashi says, what does it mean by mevarech elokim, is it mashiach mekadesh yourself? Rashi says, Bircha b'man, Rashi calls it Chazal, Bircha b'man, the Kitcha b'man. That Bircha b'man means there was an extra bracha of man. Bracha always means a lot. Bracha means I give you an abundance of something. So the bracha of Shabbos was that there was Lechem Mishnah on Erev Shabbos. Kiddusha always means to refrain, to stop, not to do something. When a Kohen is Kaddish, we can't do certain things. When an animal is Kaddish, you can't do certain things with it. So too, when Shabbos is Kaddish, so certain things are not going to happen. So what does it mean that Kodesh Baruch Hu is by Yivarech Vayikadesh? So say Chazal Mechilta Baruch Abaman V'Kitcha Abaman that a Kodesh Baruch Hu was Yivarech Shabbos by giving double the amount on Friday. It was Mekadesh Shabbos by not letting the man fall on Shabbos. So when we say in a davening Uverachta Mikol HaYomim V'Kidashta Mikol HaZmanim, so what does that mean? So Tosfos quotes a Medrash in other places that says that Mikol HaYomim Mikol HaZmanim means Shabbos, not Yontif. Only Shabbos has the bracha and the kedusha vis-a-vis the man. The Omar, the man birchu b'man kitcho, that which Rashi quotes as well. It would appear from the text of Ashma and Esrei that the man did fall on Yontif. And Yontif was business as usual. Tosfos Maseches Beitza quotes a Medrash, actually says it did fall. So Tosfos Beitza throws their hands up and says, we have some of our Chazal seem to indicate that the man didn't fall on Yontif, necessitating the nes of Lechem Mishnah. Rashi and Chumash and Mashiach actually quotes that Medrash, assuming that the man did not fall on Yontif. And yet there are other Midrashim, and Arnus Chatfila seems to point in that direction, that the man did fall, as usual, on Yontif, and therefore there was no need for the nes of Lechem Mishnah. So if you're wondering, my nafkamina, who cares? 3,500 years ago, it was very important. My left Kabina, when the man fell on Sukkot morning, now, what's the difference? It's a big difference. The difference is, are we supposed to be commemorating that extra falling of Lechem Mishnah on Erev Yontif? If the man did fall, so what are you having Lechem Mishnah on Yontif for? If the man didn't fall, then it makes sense to have Lechem Mishnah. Now, we have a Shia Lamaisa 3,000 plus years later, based on that historical question, did the man fall? We have two different traditions in Chazal, Midrash and Chalukah about that. What's the issue? Why should the man fall or not fall? Is it a lumdish question? So lechora, it really goes back to a basic question. Why didn't the man fall on Shabbos? What was wrong with the man falling? There was some kind of a Hilchos Shabbos problem. The Torah tells us in Parashas B'Shalach that the man couldn't fall because having to collect the man would have necessitated some kind of act of Chilul Shabbos. What Chilul Shabbos exactly was there in collecting the man? So it's not 100% clear. So the Torah says, "Ayeti ish b'mkom b'yom ha'shvi'i." The Torah says clearly that the Baruch Shalom didn't want us to go out to collect the man. Why not? Well, what exactly would be the problem? So the Gemara in the end of the first Bechor says, "Eruvin has two different interpretations of that pasuk. Why is it that ayeti ish b'mkom b'yom ha'shvi'i? What would be the problem?" So one interpretation is that the collect the mon would necessitate going chutzut tchum. If the mon fell far away, you had to walk, you had to travel, you had to walk 2,000 amos, so that would be a violation of tchumim. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Akiva, that's what the pasuk means. Ayei te'ishu kol b'yom ha'shvi'i means that don't go out of your houses to go spaziering for a half hour to go collect your mon, because that would be a violation of the chutz tchumim. The Gemara says that the other Tanoim said that wasn't true. The other Tanoim said that the prohibition of tchumim may only be midirabanan. That's not even what the pasuk is talking about. So what was the problem? The problem was not going chutz tchum. The problem was carrying them on. If you're going to go out and you're going to carry, how are you going to carry them on back? You have to bring your, plastic containers to go collect them on. So you're going to have to carry. So there was no Erev in the midbar. So you're going to go outside and carry your containers, carry them on, and that's going to be a violation of Otsah. So the Gemara says that according to those Tanoim, but it says al yetze ish, it doesn't mean don't go out. It means al yotze ish. It means don't go out to collect with your containers, with your shopping bags, to go and collect the money. So it's unclear what the problem was. Was it a problem of tchumen? Was it a problem of otzah? So lechora, just in the world of pure lumdus, that should impact on yontif. Should there have been a halachic problem of collecting money on yontif? If the issue is only otzah, you're allowed to carry another, allowed to carry for food on yontif for sure. So why can't I go and carry another one? Go outside with my plastic bag, go collect my money, bring it back into the house, and what's the problem? So if the only issue of the mon was only an issue of carrying, it's hard to understand why wouldn't the mon fall on yontif. There's nothing wrong with the falling on yontif. If you hold this an issue of tchumen, so there happens to be a prohibition of going chutz for tchumen even for food, that the heter v'chol nefesh applies to malachas, doesn't apply to tchumen. So if you hold it Rabbi Akiva, like another tanoim, that there was some kind of a problem of traveling to get the mon, it wasn't an issue of carrying, it's an issue of traveling, so then that would apply to yontif as well. So it's not 100% clear why the mon should or should not have fallen on yontif. And if it fell on yontif, then there was no need for us to recreate the nes of lecha mishnah on yontif. If it didn't fall, then yontif and Shabbos would be the same picture. So it's not 100% crystal clear. There are some who want to suggest, I wouldn't call it actually halacha, but it's a cute little book that Chazal say that the mon fell at different distances for different people. So the Chazal say that for the tzaddikim, so the mon fell on their doorstep. For the Beinonim, they had to walk a little bit. For the Rishayim, they went mamash chutz l'machna, they had to go really, 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 really far. So some wanted to say, again, this is more of a Purim Torah than a Yontif Torah, some wanted to say, oh, that, did the mon fall on Yontif or not? Depends for whom? For the tzaddikim, so there was nothing wrong with it falling. So it could fall on Yontif, you just have to go outside, pick it up, and bring it back in. That's how it's all. You're allowed to carry Yontif. For the Rishoyim, they had to go chutz tchum, they had to go shlapsach for the 6-hour walk to get the mon. So for them, the mon didn't fall. So that would be right. That lahalacha, the Rishoyim have to eat lechem yeshdan yontif. The tzaddikim don't have to because they don't have to. So I don't know who's going to decide who's a tzaddik, because the rush was better for these purposes. So again, this is more for chadash other shtickle Torah than reality. Oh, that's another thing. Oh, very good. That's another thing. It could be that there was nothing fundamentally wrong with the collection. But if that's the case, then all of those states that you're saying, that would only be mutter. All those actions are actually mutter in yontif also. A lot of picking yontif. So
that would accept the problem of Shabbos.
Right. So again, it's not clear. The psukim sound a little bit on Yates. It sounds a little bit like the going out itself is a problem. Right. The Torah just says that collect whatever you have on Friday and don't just sit around and put it in the fridge and wait for the bar to prepare. Make sure to right. It could be. It's a third possibility. Right. It's a possibility. Ma'amer. It's like you do the character. So it wouldn't be a ma'amer. Just to collect things on the ground without a problem. So only a problem things that grow on the ground. So the man grows in Shabbat.
We'd be discussing how Shabbos and things that are grown back picking up in
the No, that wouldn't be ma'amer. You have a lot of toys in the ground. That's the ma'amer. Ma'amer is only things that I can do the character. And it's only the welcome to do love, so it's not like the most. Probably wouldn't be ma'amer.
You don't
like to
get Shabbos before you don't
step. So the question is, so that's the question. I mean, like, we do things. You're allowed to take a walk on Shabbos. There are things you're allowed to do on Shabbos. So that's the question. So the question is, so Jack has suggested maybe we're being a little bit too misnagdish over here in terms of we're looking for a malacha, we're looking for an isser. Maybe the reason why the mon didn't fall is it's quote unquote not Shabbos thing. That's not, you don't do those kinds of things on Shabbos. You walk around Shabbos.
I show up to teach them Shabbos was a special day.
Right, so it's not right. So we have four possibilities why the month didn't fall. So either we're saying it didn't fall because of Chubin, It didn't fall because of the lach of atzah. It didn't fall because as a gezeira, so to speak, it's shemi yavashel. Or it didn't fall because this is the Shabbos day. That's the real, okay? The possibility. Okay. I'm not sure. The Gemara says that when you learn sugyas of kachim, so the Gemara says you should learn kachim, you learn tirelitics. But the Gemara says, you don't spend so much time paskining halacha lemaisa. This is the psak halacha part. We'll figure it out. We'll figure out maybe about the mikdash. So this is not even hukhsal mashicha. This is hukhsal l'sha'avah. This is the shayla. What was the din back in the days of the midbar? No. Anyway, back to that story. So, according to most Rishonim, there is a din of lechem mishnah on Yom Tov, and according to one opinion, there is not. And the mice admitting, of course, that there is. But this idea that we're somehow trying to recreate the nisim of the man, and in a halachic sense, we're going to go ahead and do something lechem mishnah in order to remind us of those nisim. So the truth is that we find there are other practices that we have that are also very, very much mun related. And the minute that we question whether the dinim of the month spill over to Yom Tov based on all the reasons that we said, so we have to go back to the drawing board. So the way it said it, it's not just a lechem mishnah issue. There are other issues, other mitzvahs, other even hukum that we have on Shabbos that are oriented to the man. Let's go back and analyze them as well. So let's go to the next Imam Kamos, and the fourth Imam Kamos in Shabbos Kufi Yitzayim. The Gemara raised the question, Tana Rabbanan, Kama Sidus Chayvan of Lechem B'Shabbos. How many meals must a person eat on Shabbos? So Shalosh, you have to eat three meals. Rabbi Chitka Oyma Arba, Rabbi Chitka says you have to have four meals on Shabbos. When I was in Kerbi Avda, so we would always have it early in Shabbos morning, and then they would have Sudha Shniyah, so the Avda would be over by 9:30 or so. So we would go to Chadar Ocha, we would make Kiddush, and we would wash, and they would have very, very small, more of a breakfast than a meal, and then we would have Seder for a little bit, and the Rashi would give him some shmooze or something. And then by the time all that was over, we started to have an early mincha, and then we would have lunch. So the children, then whatever lunch was, that was the Sudha Shlishis, that was it. So by 2 o'clock, the day was over. So in the winter time, that was fine. The summertime, that was a little bit tough, because in the summertime, by 7, 8 o'clock, lunch wasn't so big. The guys got hungry again. So they would always put out food, 6, 7 o'clock in the evenings, in the winter Shabbat, and summer Shabbat, so they would put out the food. And very often guys would wash. There wasn't so much. The guys would wash. So in Kerbiyadu, the joke is that was Sudha Rabbi Chitka. That was the fourth Sudha of Shabbos. So Rabbi Chitka, the Tana Rabbi Chitka, said you have to have four Sudhas. Where did this Machlekes come from? I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Ushneim Echad Darshu. That both the Rabbanan and Rabbi Chitka darshu the same pasuk. Vayom Moshe Chlu Hayom, says the word Hayom once. Ki Shabbos Hayom Lashem. Hayom Osimtsu Basada. So the Torah says that eat the man today, eat it today, eat it today. You're not going to get it. It's not going to be around. It's not going to be around today. Rabbi Chitka Savar Hari Plus Hayom Levami Orta. So Rabbi Chitka understood that the word Hayom was referring to the daylight hours. You know, very often that's the case. Like Yom Tfuah Yelachem Ukach Lachem Hayom Arishon. Very often when the Torah says the word Hayom, it means during the time when the sun is shining in the daytime. So Rabbi Chitka says you have to have the three Hayoms all during the daytime. But you go to sleep hungry the night before. Of course you ate the night before. Rabbi Chitka says, the Torah isn't even addressing eating the night before. The Torah is simply addressing eating three meals during the daytime. Obviously, you had a fourth meal the night before. The Rabbanan say no. Sav Rabbanan say, Bahadi derasa. The Rabbanan say that the word Yom sometimes means the full Yom. Everybody book a Yom Echad, means the day and the night together. So when the Torah says to have three meals, so that means including the night meal. So of course, we pass in the halacha like the Rabbanan, obviously. There is a machlokes in Rishonim. Did the Gemara mean this as a real drasha deraisa? That Rabbi Chitka held that deraisa you have to have four, the Rabbanan said deraisa you have to have three, and these are real psukim with real chiyuvim? Or is this more b'derech hasmach? Is this more of a hint? It's really a din de Rabbanan. There's no chiyuv deraisa in Avshal Shuris. It's only a din de Rabbanan. And this is simply b'terech like a hasmach. There's just a remez for that din de Rabbanan.
If you only have enough one
day
a night or morning.
The dinner that covered yom is odd. It's better to have a nice meal in the daytime than at night. The verse says you only have one nice dish, it's better to push it off till the morning. So it comes.
So why Kiddush do we put more emphasis on?
Because Kiddush has to be the Kiddush Shabbos. Because Nochus of Shabbos and Kacha, the Gemara says that it has to be as Shabbos is entering the Makadish. You know, Makadish, you have 3/4 done with it already. You don't do. The collector's Tisha Yom is the beginning of Shabbos. So it's not that the Friday night meal is more important, it's just that Friday night is the beginning of Shabbos. That's what's more important for Kiddush. So the din is that you have to have three meals on Shabbos, either in a Torah or in the Rabbanan. And clearly it's something to do with Mon. I mean, the Psukim, the Deraisa, the Rabban are being linked to the Mon. So how does this play out in terms of Yontif? So the Rambam, in the fifth of the Rambam Kamos, the Rambam writes, Chayav Adam Lechol Shal Shus B'Shabbos, the person has to eat three meals on Shabbos, Achas Arbis, Yachas Shachris, Yachas B'Mincha. And not only do you have to eat three meals, the Rambam goes one step further. Rambam gives you the time, the chronology of the meals. You have to have one at night, one in Shachris, and one in Mincha. So that phrase, Achas Shachris, is a somewhat of a startling statement. It doesn't say that explicitly in the Gemara. The Rambam, when he presents the Chiv of Gimel Sutta, says it's obvious. Of course, you have to have what's called Sutta Shachris. This is what led the Chashulchan and others to be the diet from this Rambam. But you have to eat Sutta Shachris at a time when it's still Shachris. So after Chatzos, it's not Shachris anymore. The Gemara has a Machlokes at the beginning of the fourth Perek of Brachos. When is the latest time to daven Shmoneh Esrei for Shachris? So Rabbi Yehuda says you have to daven until the end of 4 hours. And the Chacham say you have to do Chatzos. So even though we paskin really like Rabbi Yehuda, you have to daven before the end of 4 hours. But the Rishonim write that if Lamaisi didn't, for whatever reason, didn't daven Shachris before the 4 hours, you can still be the Eved daven until Chatzos. So we assume that until Chatzos, until halfway through the day, it's still called the morning. It's still basically what's called Shachris. So therefore, according to the Rambam, you have to eat the Shachris, the Shachris. So, not to change the clock, that's not such a challenge anymore. But 2 weeks ago, it was already a big challenge. That is right. Chatzos a little bit later, but when they first changed the clock back in October, so Chatzos becomes like 11:40. It becomes a major scramble. So, many shuls aren't open until 11:30, until later. So it's going to be hard to do that. So most people are not so machmir for this Rambam. Most people follow the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote this. Shulchan Aruch doesn't say the have to eat Yisudah before Chatzos. Shulchan Aruch says you can't fast till Chatzos. So either you had some water before davening, or you make Kiddush right after davening. So you didn't necessarily wash and have Yisudah, but according to the Rambam, so you would have to have Yisudah, you have to at least start this, you have to wash before it's Chatzos. So again, Shulchan Aruch, the Shabbat don't quote that Chumrah. The Chashulchan not on the daiket from this Rambam. So the Rambam and Yantuf, the Rambam personally would, because the Rambam holds that you need three meals in Yantuf, but we wouldn't say that. We'll see in a moment. We all don't need three meals in Yantuf.
We hold that a Rosh Hashanah too, or not?
Yeah. The Rambam himself would probably hold the Rosh Hashanah. So yeah. We don't do that.
So the Rambam just buy like kids Hashanah.
Yeah, that's another thing. The Rambam is a different Rambam. The Rambam writes you have to make Kiddush Shal Shudas. It's not clear what the Rambam meant by that. Did the Rambam mean a real formal Kiddush, like Kiddush in the morning? But the Rambam just means you have to have some wine at the meal on every Shabbat.
Wine is also
roughly. No. But the question is that the Rambam insists the Shal Shudas that before you sit down and wash, you have to pick up a cup of wine and make a burger and muffin. When the Rambam says that you have to have wine and Shal Shudas, the Rambam just meant that during the meal, you have to take a little bit of wine to drink. So when most people do neither. Most people don't follow that Rambam. They don't make Kiddush before Shal Shudas. Most people don't even drink wine during Shal Shudas. I'm meaning it's not so no makbar than that.
Shabbos doesn't have to be so technical. Can it just be meaning like breakfast?
So that's what I'm saying. Shulchan Aruch seems to say. Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote this. Right. The Rambam didn't mean it with this. Maybe you're right. So comes around and continues and says that at the end of the fifth Rambam comes that the last three words v'chein b'yavim tovim. Everything the Rambam said previously carries over to Yontif as well. So the Rambam sheet is clearly that you have to eat shalashudis on Yontif. There's no difference whatsoever. So if you look at the sixth Rambam comes, the Torah quotes v'yesh om shetzach lasbul gimusudis chaykas v'ramzal. So the Torah writes that there are those who say you have to have shalashudis on Yontif, and that was the view of the Rambam. The Abi Adonia Rosh lo noakei. He says that his own father, the Russian son, says, my own father didn't have that practice. So it's interesting. If not for the fact that the Torah was his son, he grew up with his father, you would never know this. The Rush doesn't talk about the topic. Nowhere that I know of Benukas HaRush, nowhere in the Chubas, nowhere does he say explicitly whether you should or should not have Shal Shudas or Yontif. The Torah says, I'm telling you, I grew up in my father's house. So I was a kid. My father never ate Shal Shudas. And that has become the standard practice today. That most people do not, are not mocked with Shal Shudas on Yontif. They follow the view of the Rush. The Shabura quotes that there are some people who have a practice that as a little bit of a chumrah, not really to get you into the Rambam, but they try to eat a little bit something. They'll have a little bit something extra in the afternoon. Most people do that anyway. Or a little extra dessert. Most people do that anyway also. So they'll do a little of something. So from to be yaitzed in Rambam Shita and Shal Shudas on Yantin. But the ikra that we hold, you don't really have to. Most people are not so careful to wash on Ashal Shabbos. It's quoted in the name of the Brisker Rav that even though he didn't follow this Rambam, that they didn't wash Brisker, didn't wash for Ashal Shabbos, but he used to wash for Ashal Shabbos one Yom Tov a year, and that was Shvi Shel Pesach. He would always wash for Ashal Shabbos. Why? That was based on a different thing, Megamre, because it's the last opportunity to perform the mitzvah of eating matzah. Because the Gra's opinion, maybe shown before the Gra, also this way, that even though the Chiyuv eat matzah is only the first night, but there's a mitzvah kiyumis to eat matzah the whole week. Well, the more the merrier, the more matzah eat. That's a positive mitzvah. There was a bracha on it, but it's a mitzvah kiyumis. It's a fulfillment of shivus yom matzahs techeinu. So the Brisker Rav said, "You're coming. It's the last shot. It's Shri Shal Pesach late in the afternoon. It's a chaperon, one last kezayis of matzah." So that's what called the Brisker Rav. So we don't. Most people don't do that. I don't actually literally go and wash it. They're done usually at the end. If I remember, at the end of lunch in Shri Shal Pesach, I think I know it's a matzah. So I'll make a big announcement that this is what the Briskers used to do. That they would have a special piece of matzah as the chaperon, the last mitzvah of their ice of achilas matzah. But our practice, again, we're not so much with each other on Yontif. So now this seems to be a little bit of a problem because the issue whether or not you should be eating each other on Yontif seems to be hinging upon how much are we recreating the events of the month. If we're really trying to remember the Nisim of the month on Yontif, which we are doing by having Lechem Mishnah, why doesn't that translate to mean we eat Shalosh Shuddos on Yontif as well? If we're refraining from eating Shalosh Shuddos, we're not Chayish Shul Rambam. It means we're taking the view that we don't have to recreate the mon on Yontif experience. So then why are we matmet av Lechem Mishnah? So Lechem is a stira between these two minhagim, these two practices, that minhagim, these minhagim that Christ will have, vis-a-vis Shalosh Shuddos, somehow we're lenient, vis-a-vis Lechem Mishnah, we're more machmer. Lechem, these two practices contradict each other. That machlek is a midrashim, the mon, yeah, no, for on Yontif, sounds like we can't make up our minds. We're not really sure. That, like the Lechem Mishnah was saying, we're going to recreate the mon, and the Gabbai Siddur Shlishis was going to say, nah, forget about the mon and Yontif, don't worry about it. So it's a little bit of a bella, because Lechora, these two things should depend one upon the other. We'll finish up tomorrow, so we'll try to continue a little bit about the sugya, about why we do what we're doing, whether we should be doing or not be doing in terms of a Yontif and Shabbos.
That's actually not true.